Hi guys, thank you so much for tuning in. I'm here in Hyderabad, coming to stand up. Just thought I'll speak to a few special people. As you know, this is a very curated podcast. So joining me on the podcast, my friend, fellow comic Sandesh Johnny. Sandesh, thanks so much for doing this, man.
Hey man, thanks for coming to my room and having it done.
Yeah man, the other option was I had to do it in my room, but I thought I'll do an early. Yeah, the problem is, I don't know, you know this, right? Because you've obviously been on tour, that whole India tour you do, but you're in a hotel room. You kind of hate hotel rooms after a certain point.
Yeah, after 5 years, like, it's the same. After 5 years, like, it's the same, like, white sheet and
yeah,
red ribbon. That's it, dude.
Yeah. Are you still touring right now?
Not right now. I'm just focusing on, like, I have a full-time job.
Okay.
Right? So I'm doing that and I'm doing spots, like, I'm doing stage time, but I'm not touring anymore. Like, I have nothing to tour with as of now.
Right. I think we all are in an interesting space. I was telling you before the podcast, because we were doing this full time and then afterwards now we're going back to a job and doing it.
Oh.
Yeah. And how do you feel about it?
It's fine, dude. I mean, like, only thing I miss is the hustle, in the sense that comedy hustle was there, right? The money was not too much. I, like, you know, there's like one corporate show in 3 months, which would be enough.
Yeah,
right?
Actually.
And then I would, like, manage small gigs. Like, I would manage gigs for punchliners or other big guys. And then I would get, like, little amount.
Mm.
So it was going fine. Like, I didn't earn enough to, like, have my own place. But
yeah,
I earned enough to get through easily.
Yeah.
And I had some savings, so it was great. Like, I had a lot of time and these things were great. Like, it didn't scale up for me, but I was too happy. But I had to take up a job because the day they announced there's another recession this beginning in 2022 because of the COVID pandemic, then somebody called me. Somebody wanted a writer in Radio Mirchi, so I took up the job. I was not even looking. I was like, okay, maybe we'll die of hunger like this one. Maybe this is how it ends, but somebody gave me a job and now I'm too used to a job. Like, I know the pandemic is over, I can do other stuff.
Yeah.
But I'm not just too used to, like, having a roof over my head.
Yeah, no, I know what you mean, man. Like, for me personally, it's been, like, actually very comforting to have a job. Because when you're, like you correctly mentioned, that hustle is a mixture of anxiety and ambition. It's both,
yeah,
right? Like, you want to fucking make it. And also, like, shit, how am I going to make it?
It's
both, right? And I think that job takes care of the anxiety part to a large extent. But then it also keeps you on your toes saying, like, this is not the...
This is not it. Huh?
Yeah,
that part, I like, right now, I know every day when I log into work, I know this is not it. Like, I walk into the office thinking, this is not... Like for example, this is... I treat it like a train, right? This is not my final destination. I'm, still stopping at Nagpur for some doodh peda.
Yeah.
Or oranges, like, I need to go to Delhi or Bombay. Like, this is how I see the job. It's fine, you know. Plus, I think it pushes it. The drive has increased right now.
Yeah.
To do better.
Correct.
Because now I know I have, like, 1 hour of comedy I have one show per day. I know I've done, like, an entire days of work. So I make sure it's worth it. Like, at least I think like that. Ki I make sure now the comedy time is worth it. Whereas when I was doing full time, I woke up at 9 a.m. But I know I can write any
time. Which is early, by the way.
Yeah. But I know I can write any time. But I won't.
Correct. Yeah,
so
actually.
It's still better. So I've written more when I'm.
When you have a job.
Plus, you get to observe more. You get to have a decent perspective of what actual public is thinking, right? Because you meet your colleagues. You're a regular person also, which gives you more content, I think.
Yeah, it gives you more context on people's lives also, right?
Correct.
Because otherwise, you're sitting and writing from your room.
And you're watching internet, which is not even India. It's like New York. Like, especially us comics, right? We watch sitcoms, we watch movies, we watch stand-up, which is everything is like around New York, LA, man. Like, I'm literally living there on my screen. And here I'm just sitting on my bed. And
how are you going to relate to a person who's just come from a...
who's come from a software job. So how do I relate to them? Now I can relate. Like, I have, like, so many... I've become much more relatable as a comic post-quitting job.
Yeah, I think I would agree the same too, man. Like, I think when it's for me, it's both, like, it's post quitting the job and also getting married, right? When I see a couple, I'm like, I know exactly what you guys are going through.
That's the thing. Perspective has doubled with a job and marriage.
Like, yeah,
the two things everybody does in India. Everybody, most
it's
of
the
us,
most mainstream,
most mainstream thing. Like, you can be very relatable like that.
I know, man. Yeah, dude, actually, I know we have talked before about, like, even on the podcast, right? But what was very interesting, I think in 2019, I came and did a show here. And you were also on the lineup, I think. Was that Arumale?
No. That was, I guess,
it was a
Phoenix.
Yeah.
Phoenix Arena. It was still like a cultural space.
Yes, it was Phoenix a Arena. Art space, right?
Phoenix Arena.
Yeah, yeah. You were talking about like, you know, you grew up as a pastor's kid, right?
Yes.
Like, as did I, right?
So, wow.
And this is the first time. The chances of this happening in comedy in India is too rare for me to miss this opportunity.
It's 2 out of 2,000 and both of us are sitting here.
Yeah. So this is really cool, man. That's why I thought I'll have a nice conversation with you, sit and talk about it.
That's
right?
Nice. On
you asked
Sunday.
Me before the podcast, like, what is
it's
the theme?
It's very relevant because it's on a Sunday at what, 12:40? Right when the sermon starts.
Yeah, 12:40. Oh my God. I can imagine that, right? Like, I have not gone to church today. I'm sure not neither of you. Yeah. But so you were born in Hyderabad?
I was born in Hyderabad, but I grew up in Nepal, Manali, Punjab, because that's where my dad was having a church. So,
right.
But that's where he ran the churches. So I grew up there.
Okay.
And then I came back to Hyderabad to like finish my higher studies.
So how was that like? My dad was part of like a Methodist kind of an organization where they post people different places, right? So was that similar to how?
Sort of on and off. He was with, like, you know how there are organizations that support missionaries and pastors,
yeah, yeah.
Right? So he was with them,
right.
And that he kept changing. But he was mostly an independent guy.
Mostly independent
with like some support from big churches.
Right. Okay.
Here and there.
So you immediately, your first place was Nepal?
First place was Manali.
Manali. So and directly in the north.
Directly in the north.
So until that point, you're completely South Indian, right?
Completely South
So
Indian.
You speak Telugu at home?
Yeah, yeah, completely. My job is in Telugu.
Correct. Yeah. So how was that? Like, you had to move to a different place. Were you speaking Hindi at that point of time?
Dude, I was very young. I was literally just born here and then...
Your parents moved?
Moved. My parents were already there. It just so happened that my mom came here when I was pregnant. That's it.
Oh, okay. So
you can literally say I grew up in Manali only.
Which also explains why your comedy has so much of Hindi also.
Of course.
Which is why do you think like mostly in Hindi when you're writing a joke?
Dude, I think in all three languages. Like it's, I've lost two jobs because I... you know, said this statement because I literally think in all three languages.
Tell me more about these jobs that you lost.
So I applied as a radio jockey in the same company that I'm working for right now as Radio Mirchi, right? The first I applied as a radio jockey because it makes sense. Comedian can become a radio jockey.
Yeah.
Because he speaks, he's an orator. But they asked me, which language do you think in?
Right.
All three.
Yeah.
Because I grew up speaking all three because every Sunday you go to church, right? It's English, you go to school, Hindi, you come to home, Telugu. So it is literally trilingual in my head. So I told the same thing. They were like, that is not possible. We think in Hindi only or English.
Right.
And they rejected me. But I was like, fine, I'll keep my answer.
Nice. But so when you grew up in Manali, it was completely like a Hindi kind of a speaking place, right?
Correct.
Completely. How was it like? You had to, every Sunday, your dad had to go speak and you had to, live the life of like a pastor's family.
Correct. So
how was that like?
Dude, it was very beautiful because our church was like 20 kilometers away from where the main town is, right? So it is much more interior. So it was one of the most beautiful journeys I took every Sunday, because every Sunday we had a Maruti 800. Four of us used to get in. We used to drive around the mountains, around the river for like 20, 30 kilometers and then reach the church. And it was like a very small church. You know, one of these house churches where like 7-8 people come. It's on top of a hill in between, like in the midst of an orchard, right? It's a small house in like, there are like 100 apple trees around it, and it's nice. Like the locals used to come, and after the church finished, we used to also teach them. Like I used to teach them maths, my mom used to teach them English, like my dad.
But you were a kid at this point.
I was a kid, but like we also, but they were like,
how old were you at this point?
I was in like what, 8th standard, 10th
right.
standard and all, like from this started from like what, when I was 2-3 years old,
yeah,
and
yeah.
It went on till I was 10th standard.
Hmm.
So as I grew up and I became I was in 8th standard and 9th, 10th, I used to start teaching the kids who used to come to the church towards like 6th, 7th
yeah.
standard. And it was, I was in ICSE silver, they were state silver, so it
yeah.
was very easy.
Hmm.
I only had to do it in Hindi. Like I taught maths in Hindi.
Yeah, that's nice, man. And so how many years in the north region?
So I'll tell you, I'll give you like a proper timeline. So I was there in Manali till what, 98, 99, from 91 to 98. Then I came to Hyderabad for 2 years, just 2 years I stayed here. Then I went back to Nepal again.
Right. And all of this is because of dad's
Because
work.
Dad's church and that's where his missions were.
Mm-hmm.
So then I went to Nepal. I stayed there for 2 years and then I went back to Manali. And there I finished my 10th and then I came back to Hyderabad.
So it's a lot, but that's a lot of travel, right?
Too much travel, man. Like I crossed, like me and my mom crossed like Nepal border, like it was nothing.
So how many places have you effectively stayed?
4 or 5, I can say. And in between,
I think this is almost every pastor's family. I've stayed in 4 places too, right? My dad is posted in 4 places. Yeah, did you have the thing where you have to change schools constantly?
Oh yeah, dude. I studied 4th standard in like 2 schools.
So yeah, so you had to change like how many schools?
So I think I at least studied in more than 6 schools, dude.
Wow.
And 4th standard, I studied in 2 schools. Like I finished half of 4th standard in Nepal and then the rest of my 4th standard in Manali.
Was that like different, like being the new kid all the time?
I was always the new kid. Always, that was my issue. Like that is why I think I became a comedian, because
dude,
I was always...
I was just going to make that same point. Like I was a new kid too, right? And it's not just you and me. I think it's a bunch of other people as well. Because they were new kids, I think the skill that they kind of picked up, that you have to be funny, that's the only way like people are going to know that I exist. That
you have to make an extra effort to make yourself visible.
Correct.
Correct.
That's a lot of comedians. I think a lot of comedians are new kids. And I think that also kind of gives us that advantage when audience sees us, because I think subliminally make them feel very comfortable.
Correct. Because we are used to like getting, like that's, I think that's where I have an advantage of like, you know, getting around with people very easily. Because I've literally not had a friend that for 20 years. I had to change my friend every 4 or 5 years. So I'm very used to like, you know, making new friends, right?
Making
new friends. That's fine.
Yeah. I think I have that to some extent, but I think I have a greater extent. Like if someone is new, I can immediately find out like they're new and then I can like relate to them on a much more deeper extent. So that's cool. So how, so I think four, five different places you stayed at. Yeah, 4 or 5
Easily.
Different places. And so these are all like small churches and small places.
Small towns. Very small towns.
Right. How is that like? Because like my experience has been like vastly different. Mostly in the cities, right?
Oh.
In like Bangalore, Chennai, Hyderabad also to some extent for a very short period of time. Right, which is where my dad left the church. So my dad left the church when I was about 10 years. Yeah, about 10 years. He said, I don't want to be a pastor anymore. And he just quit.
Oh, he quit being a pastor?
Yeah.
Or like he Christianity?
No. He still preaches and all that.
But
he said, I'm
not
going to be part
like
of a church,
a
mainstream church. I'm just going to be a counselor and a teacher
that,
and all of that. Yeah. Just do the other work apart from...
Like freelance pastor.
Yeah. Like being a freelance pastor. But like in my experience, it was very different, right? Because the thing is, if you're in a... I think what like in your like where your dad was part of and all that, right? It was smaller churches. So... you're doing just the work, right? You're doing the good work. You're speaking to people. You're organizing activities and teaching and all of that, right? But in a big city church, it's chaotic because it's a corporate organization.
Yeah, a big city church is like big city restaurant. It's like it needs to be run in a... there has to be process. There has to be a lot of things done. There are employees. And
there's power, basically, right?
There's power, basically.
There's a lot of power. So how was it like over here when you were part of like a really small church in different places?
So it's fun, dude. It's again, like, it's, to be honest, to explain it to you, it's like running a small room and a big room.
Ah.
Literally, dude. Like in a small room, right?
Or a small room and a club.
And a small room and a big club. Yeah, that's the only difference. Like in a small room, like where the host is the, you know, the host will set up the mic, the host will like arrange the chair. Same in a small church also, the pastor will arrange the chairs, he will set up the mic. People will come half an hour late, and sometimes people won't show up also, where there's just the host and the pastor and his friend. It's literally like that, man. So any small scene, any big scene, there you compare it, it's same.
This is the same. It's at the any same. Point of time, did you want to become like a...
Dude, I was very, at until 25.
Yeah.
I was... until I started comedy.
Right.
And the reason I started comedy...
So comedy is where you sold your soul.
Is because I wanted to become a better pastor.
Are you serious?
I'm not kidding, right? So
where did this start from?
So I'll tell you. So
was your dad funny, by the way?
My dad is very funny.
Yeah, same as my dad.
Extremely funny. His sermons are funny.
Yeah.
Like he made sure there were a lot of stories
yeah.
that people could relate to. And not like, you know, the funny stories. So he tried to make them laugh.
Mm.
And it came naturally to him. And that, I guess, obviously...
Rubbed onto you.
Rubbed onto me.
Yeah.
But he was very funny. So I was telling, right, how I wanted to become a pastor by becoming a comedian. So I was So I, in 20, when I was around, I think 24, 25, I became more serious with the church. Like,
right.
You know, I became very active, too active in the church, wherein I was very dedicated. I used to go on Thursdays, Wednesdays also.
Right.
Like, that active.
Right.
And that was the time I was like, okay, I'm going to take this up seriously. And there, the counselor or the mentor that you have, I started also watching comedy, Indian comedy. that's when I discovered that there is Biswa and there's Daniel and there's like Kenny Sebastian, all those videos, right? And then I Googled like open mic and everything. And then I asked my mentor that, see, there is a stand-up comedy, you know, open mic happening. I feel like I should go. You know, I feel like I can do. And everybody else, like my parents, my cousins who are very Christian, they said stand-up comedy is not like, you know, it won't suit our lifestyle. Like church, mein kaisa, how will you, like you are going to be a, they say, or they abuse, then they say, talk about LGBTQ and all those things. So
yeah,
they were like, don't go, don't do. But this guy who was my mentor, he wanted me to become a pastor. He said, if you want to become a pastor, there are no comedy pastors. Like there is no comedian in the church. Mm. Whereas if you go to the history of comedy itself, it started in the church.
Really?
It did start in the church. In what way? In the sense that there was just a guy who used to narrate very funny stories, because the church used to be a 3-4 hour thing, right? It started inside the church.
Interesting.
So they used to talk about Bible things only, right?
Stories. I don't know about comedy, but at least it used to be a place of storytelling where you go and listen to a story every Sunday, guaranteed.
Guaranteed. So there was a comedian in the church. There are Christian Christian comics who go inside a church and perform.
I do know, yeah.
Michael Jr.
There's a guy called Tim Hawkins.
Yeah, they do that.
Michael Jr. is a black guy, right?
Yeah, he's a black guy.
Yes. Very funny guy.
He also does clubs and he's still funny. Like,
yeah.
And I got introduced to that. I'm like, I might do that.
Mm.
And then I started comedy, and then, you know, then I used to hate all this George Carlin, Louis C.K. stuff. I'm like,
because they used to say fuck.
And I'm like, these are not.
But let me ask you, at that point of time, when you're just entering comedy, like how conservative were you very conservative, like anti-abortion, anti-gay rights?
No, I was like, I kept all those things to myself. Like, I knew this was happening, but I was like open to it.
Mm.
I'm like, let's see what it is. Like, you know, I was also like I was also not, that was the time I was losing grip on Christianity also at the same time, because I got too obsessed with it for 2 years, right? Now is the time I'm like, okay, I need to, like, this not going anywhere.
What was the obsession like?
Dude, I used to go to church every Wednesday, Thursday and Sunday. And when I'm traveling, I used to have an audio Bible app, and I used to listen to like audio Bible while I was working inside my office.
Wow.
I was not listening to music also. I just listened to Bible all day.
Yeah. Oh,
and
wow.
That obsessed I became. And
what was that? You found that because of something, or like you just...
Because I tried to change my life, because I was told I was supposed to do this.
Right.
Like,
because
I
that's
knew
the place
my dad is a pastor, so I knew I was supposed to become. Like, they kind of, there is this thing where they dedicate you to this service at a very young age, right?
Yeah.
What is my name? Sandesh Johnny, right?
Yeah.
My official name is Ratna Sandesh Pandu.
Hmm.
Which means my dad had kept my name as Sandesh because he wanted me to be a message and would sound nice as a pastor. Pastor Sandesh who gives Sandesh. Like something like that. So it was all planned.
There's a level of Christianity you go where you can name a son Sermon. Right?
To remind him every day that he's supposed to do that. So I was like, okay, fine, I'll do this.
Yeah.
And then I came to comedy, and then, I started doing, I think it was very soon, like I did comedy for like 3 months, and then everybody was talking about Louis C.K., everybody was talking about George Carlin, and I was the only person who's like, okay, I'll not listen to him.
Yeah.
I'll just listen to like, maybe Kenny is nice, Biswa is nice, all these two popular comedians are not great, is what I used to think. Then... I think the company got me like to the other side, dude. Like now I'm
like
a complete agnostic. Then I started smoking up.
Yeah.
Then I started hanging out. Then I started actually listening to George Carlin and Louis C.K. Then I, you know, then I made a self-check and self-discovery.
Yeah.
And I just realized that, you know, okay, life is much easier.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, you know, the whole concept of carrying a cross, the cross is very heavy.
Yeah.
You just laid it out. I just put it across. And now I'm just like, you can say I'm an agnostic. So
But what is the process of like losing your grip on like Christianity? Because I lost it like quite early, right? Earlier than probably 25 or so. But I'll tell you what is like your entire,
my point.
Yeah.
Like the locking point or the final point, which I told myself and I decided, okay, I'm not going to go to church or I'm not going to take this pressure off God anymore, is free will, man. Like, you know, if I feel like doing this, I just feel not like, for example, I feel like smoking. I feel like just, you know, having a good time. I feel like not going to church. If I'm feeling that and I'm just controlling it for a long time, it's not giving me joy. Whereas that doing those things are giving me joy. Like whatever Bible calls sin.
Yeah.
It is actually giving me joy.
Mm.
Whatever the Bible is condemning and saying not to do is actually giving me a joy. Whereas that's where I decided I can, you know, make my old 10 commandments.
Mm.
Like I don't need to follow all the 10 commandments. I have to lie.
Yeah.
I have to lie. And I have been lying all my life. Even though while I was a Christian, I was lying. Post I was a Christian, I was still lying. So I'm like, how does it make a difference? The only difference is the guilt.
Yeah.
Like I was like, whatever the Bible called as sin, I was still sinning.
Yeah.
And post me, now I'm an agnostic, I'm still sinning.
Yeah.
The only difference is I don't have guilt anymore. I'm not, it's not heavy anymore.
Yeah.
So it's fine. It's the same thing. Like, and there is, there are layers to it. Okay, there is no absolute proof. Then there is no absolute feeling. Mm. And honestly, like, there's no feeling to it. Like, you know, I've opened my arms. Like, I've properly gone the path. Like, you know, wherein I was extremely dedicated. Like, I just used to sit and meditate and try to find God. I never found it.
Mm.
And the peace I wanted to find after going to heaven or after experiencing that, you know, that religious feeling or that godly feeling, I found that in a joint. So I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry. Like, I lost to it, man. Like, I just found, like, I found peace. So I'm very happy like that.
But like, comedy helped you in the transition a lot?
Totally. Because comedy helps you question everything.
Right. I really like that about comedy.
It makes you question everything.
Yeah. And you know, for me...
Which is bad also, good also, but...
Why do you think it's bad?
After some point, you start questioning yourself.
Oh yeah, gets dark.
Are you a comedian? Are you a human? Are you an employee? Are you just somebody?
Yeah, you become too self-reflective.
Yeah, then it is bad also, but it's great also. But, you know, if
it's great with all the big things, right? Like, you look at a corporate job... Like, yeah, I don't, you know, like, you're just discussing this, right? It's not it, right? Like, that happens because you are self-reflective and you're introspective and you're also questioning, like, is this what people are living for, right?
Huh.
But then when it comes to your own individual thing, right?
Like, I'm also doing the same thing. Who am I? But I'm like,
which is why, like, you know, every time someone talks about me, I'm like, listen, I'm not here to talk about myself. I'm here to bitch about others.
That's easy. And more fun.
That's why it's funny. Yeah. It's very interesting, dude. Like, I think, for me, like, someone asked me this, okay? Like, you know, there's a comedian called Sandeep Rao, right? In Bangalore.
Oh, yeah, I know.
Yeah. He asked me this a lot. I didn't think about it at that point. He said, like, you're actually, Ruben, you're from a very religious family, right? Like, how are you even doing comedy? And my answer was, because in religion, there's too much of seriousness.
Yes.
It's too much of sanctity.
Too much of not laughing.
Yeah.
Too much of not joy and too much of, like, you know, rituals and discipline. And there is so much there to not do in a religion.
Yeah, Yeah. Which is, it's got to be, so every time, like, someone said something inappropriate, I've always been attracted to that.
Correct. It's fun, like, you know, watching movies. Like, dude, I was like, you know, I grew up in an Christian organization where drinking was prohibited.
Yeah.
Watch, Harry Potter was evil.
Yeah, it still is.
It still is evil. Like, Harry Potter is satanic. I still don't watch
because of the promotion of witchcraft.
Witchcraft. And so I didn't watch Harry Potter, man. Like, I have no idea what, now I'm too old to watch Harry Potter. Now it feels like, I can't watch it now.
Yeah.
Because it's like,
I'm in the same, I like how we both are in the same boat. I haven't watched Harry Potter 2 and I haven't read the books, but now I realize that the books, they did some research and they said, like, people who have read all the books are much more happier in life than people who have not read the books. Not just very, it's not just an objective research, because apparently the book has so much of information about death and life and about will and what you're supposed to be doing, right? It's actually, and also, I don't know if you know this, J.K. Rowling is a Christian. Who goes to church. and her last book, so everyone was like, I don't know how the last book is going to end, right? Mm. And she said, like, if you've read the New Testament, you'll probably understand how it's going to end. So it's like in parallels. But, like, we are so objective,
And we are the groups that we are in are so inclusive and they're so small.
Mm.
For example, I belong to an organization called Kingship of Christ, right? We are like 100 people and we are the best 100 people. No other Christian suffices. Like John Abraham, no. He's not a Christian.
Yeah. He does movies.
He does movies. Like Robin Singh, no, he's not a Christian. So you disassociate with every other Christian. So you're like, nah.
So for me, that was the part that got to me. That was where I lost grip of this entire thing. I said, like, this is 100% not an organization by God. This is an organization by people, for people, for their egos. So then...
like, money.
Mainly money, right?
Mainly money. So to understand anything, this is my policy in life, right? To understand anything in life, like any organization or anybody, you want to understand, you just track the money.
Where's the money coming from?
You understand why this is happening. Church also same, like there is some money involved, like, you know, the big churches especially, there is some money involved. There are some people obviously doing it for the joy of it and for the service part of it, but there is money, man. You can't deny the fact.
And I think, like, my dad was in it for all the right reasons, right? Like, because even now he's in it because, like, I want to help people, you know, teach people, I want to counsel people, help fixing marriages if they need to, right? But, like, if it's kind of like anything in the world, right? Like, you have, like a proper intention, like, this is exactly what I want to know. But you join an organization where, obviously, their intention is to make money and to profit and to become big and to basically become powerful and famous and rich. These are the three things that people are really... And fame and power are kind of the same thing, right? And when you're part of that organization, there's so much of conflict, right? So I saw that and I was like, 100% I'm not going to be part of this ever. So, and as soon as I let go, I said, this is not going to be my life, right? There was a sense of, like, you know, just like peace, right?
You experienced that.
Yeah.
Letting go of just being light. I'm like, okay, I have nothing to report to.
Of course, I mean, like, do you ever have your past life catching up to you, like, from religion and all that?
Dude, obviously, every all the time. Night, man. Every day it is like a struggle because, I have the Bible is ingrained in my head, dude. It's
right.
Not like anything else. Like, I can just preach if you want me to. Like, if next day I know I need to preach for at the point of a gun, I will just preach. I will give you a nice sermon. So that's how close to Bible I am.
Huh.
So it hits me every day, man. Like, you know, like, it's... I am conflicting the Bible every day. So it's 25 years of telling yourself that this is the truth.
Yeah.
And now the next, what? Like, now I'm 32. For the past 7 years, I've been conflicting that truth every day. So that is my struggle with most things. Like, whenever I'm, for example, I'm smoking a joint. Like, every time I light a joint, there is a voice inside my head that I have to be like, "Arre, hatna. Let me do it."
Yeah. For me, if there's anything like that, I would do it, but I won't do it because of, like, whatever religion or whatever. I'll just do it because you want to. Yeah, and I'll do it mainly because it's making, like, my close circle around me unhappy. That's probably... See, after a certain point, you kind of... This Eddie Izzard, I don't know if you saw him live.
I've not seen him live.
He said something which was very cool. He said, like, I don't believe in a higher power, but I think our higher power is each other. Like, to an extent where he says, like, I believe in you, I believe in me, I believe in, like, humankind, right? And I think even when people do, like, the entire thing about religion, I think what we're trying to do is we're trying to make each other's life kind of better is what I think. And if you're doing it for any other reason, this, I do not know the point of it. That's just your own ego, right? Like, if you're saying, I want to do the right thing because I want to be living forever. I said, dude, how egoistic are you?
How greedy are you? But again, like, I get that point, right? I get that point. I follow that point. Like, I still a lot of principles that I have in my life right now are based out of the Bible.
Yeah.
Right. For example, when it comes to, when it comes to world or when it comes to treating others, this is the principle I have in my mind that, you know, love your neighbor as yourself.
Yeah.
I still do that.
Yeah.
You know, I still try to do that. Like, you know, that is the base of what my principles are right now.
Yeah.
So it is still there, but it's the ritual part.
The pressure to be perfect. The pressure to be perfect. Yeah.
That part I've let go. I still like one of... my storytelling comes from there.
Yeah.
Everything comes from there, man. So I'm very...
I think that's the part which comedy really helps in, right? Like, and I think it's not just you and me. I think everyone else, right? Like, everyone faces a certain pressure to be perfect, right? Because we have that perfect formula to be...
Correct.
Right? Like, even morally is one thing which what religions like Christianity and other religions also do. But even otherwise, in society-wise, right, there's one perfect model. You basically do engineering, do an MBA, get an IT job, get like a salary
get
over
a
12
home,
lakhs.
Get a car.
Get a home, get a car, get married, have kids. And then afterwards, you like, shit, this is not it, right? And comedy has been saying this is not it for a long
for
time.
For a long time.
And that's where it kind of helps, I think. How do you, because I mean, there are certain things that remain the same, like you said, right? Like I believe in God 100%, right? A lot of the things which are the Bible, I believe in it completely, right? I just let go of the religion part of it. I do not take part in it at all, right? And, but I still have like the pressure of like, you know, keeping up with the past, right? Because like my parents are super religious. So they called me, I was like, hey, are you like this? You go to church, you go to that. I said, no, I don't want to do it. And I'd be like, how can you say that?
So what is your argument with your parents? Like, how does the, do you guys have an argument? They're saying that, okay, for example, for me, every time they ask me to come to church,
yeah,
and every time I say no,
yeah,
it leads to an argument key whether God exists or not. Like it comes to that. Or whether,
yeah,
what is religion. So every time I'm fighting that. So how does it go with you?
I don't have the argument of God exists or not. Like, I believe in God. But the church thing, I just say, it's boring.
Correct.
The second thing is, most people are there because they have to be there, not because they want to,
be there.
Third thing, great time, pandemic, nobody missed the church.
It was just a Zoom call.
It was amazing, man. Like, you just didn't have to, I mean, like, it was, there was no pressure. Like, that was one of the, I really think that was one of the best things that happened. And I realized this, like, I do not like going to the church for whatever particular reason, right? But this has been like a movement for a long time. I think in England, I was reading like Charles Dickens, he was right on 1800. He's been telling that I think Christians don't want to come to church, but we're just forcing them to come to church out of ritual.
Out of ritual. Most people go to out of ritual. You know, it's a nice, see, Sunday morning is a nice time to get dressed, firstly.
Also a better time to sleep, rest in.
I don't know. People like doing it, dude. Like, people go inside the church and sleep. Dude, the best time to sleep is inside the church. I've had like great naps. I'm so sorry. But I've had naps. Like, I've slept through my... Like, first of all, it's my father who is preaching. So,
yeah,
I know it.
Yeah.
He,
yeah,
has practiced all that sermons on me at home.
Yeah, you know what's coming next.
I know what's coming. And so
you know when the punchline that's going to come.
When the punchline is going to come. I'm not excited at all. So that got me.
Yeah.
And so that stopped me from going to church. And the hours, dude, duration, like it takes... It's like the whole world,
yeah,
has like a five-day
work week,
right?
Yeah.
And you are the only person,
yeah,
who's working 6 days.
Yeah.
And your Mondays are tired because like you are not just going to church and going back home. Like you are also folding the chairs. You are making sure you're,
yeah,
talking to the church. You're,
yeah,
like,
yeah. Because you're an event organizer also at that point of time.
Yeah, so it's tough, man. It's not worth it. Like, it's just you have to put it, just not worth doing all that. Maybe
the pressure.
I would still recommend anybody to read the Bible if they want to.
Yeah.
But don't go to church.
Yeah, the thing is, I like we just mentioned, I think the pressure of it is what is the problem. You just face too much of pressure and just like, let go of the pressure.
Ha. That was one of the biggest points.
But I think certain people don't also. And that's very interesting how
some
they just
people
keep
have it. Mastered it and now they love it. Now they've become made a life around it, right? So it's there. Like, for example, my brother, right? He cannot just go to church and come back.
Mm.
He has to, if he goes to the church, he has to be a part of it. He has to
right.
be up either part of the choir or part of the music team or some way in a bigger part of the church. Because if he does not do that, he has to do that. Like, he has no other option in his life.
Mm.
Like, he's changed churches, but he still do that.
Mm.
Because that's what it is for him. Like,
that's, you know, that's the other thing which I really like, how people change churches. Because that happens all the time, right? And you leave a church not because of God. You leave a church
because of people.
People. And you go to another place where there are people.
People again. So,
so how many more changes do you... It's like, you know, it's the same
it's
thing.
It's the same thing as changing company.
Exactly.
You're still working for someone.
Exactly. What is a different someone?
It's a different someone. It's like closer to your house or something.
Yeah. It's, or like, your salary is more, or they're sending you to the US. But it's still, you're working under someone. So at what point of, how many jobs will you have to change to realize that a corporate... structure is fucked up, right? That's a great point of why people do not get it all. Yeah. But
also, I feel like people are too afraid to challenge it. Imagine this, okay? I've told you from since you've had a very metal mind, right? You know, where you had a very soft mind, where anything I say is the truth. I've told you that there is a person who knows everything, he's watching everything, he's always there, he's the biggest thing on earth, there is nothing that surpasses, he made you, he knows your every breath, he knows how many hairs you have. You instead of the thought that God loves you comes after, but you first get scared of him, man.
Mm.
Isn't that scary? Like somebody knows all the hair, how many hair I have, utna confidence, how the fuck am I going to masturbate peacefully?
Yeah. No, I think these are all rules that people just made up.
These are rules that people just made up. Like
I at one point of time I was sitting in like church, and you know there's a very interesting thing for those who don't know about it in church. It's called testimony, right?
Oh, dude, I
where you give a testimony about your past life, right? And dude, I hear so many of the testimonies now, and I have like since retired as like a serious religious person, right? Long time ago. I was like, dude, that's not even a problem. Just go on.
Dude, I love testimonies, man.
They'll that come and say my... shit like, you know, I used to watch porn. It's like, dude, everyone over here is...
watching
yeah.
porn.
This is not...
So this is
part of being a man, dude. Just own that shit, move on, and just do your own shit. Yeah.
Dude, that part, by the way, testimony part where people come and confess their sins was my favorite part about the church because that was the most interesting, right? Look,
but,
I had my yeah. church was crazy, right? There is this town in Andhra Pradesh called Stuartpuram. Right,
it's called Stuartpuram.
It's called
Stuart, named after someone called Stuart.
Stuart, who converted the whole village.
Yeah.
And prior to that, the village was entirely of thieves, dude. Everybody in that village
theft,
is a
yeah.
thief.
Right.
So I in my church, right, all those people used to come.
Huh.
So that is like proper fucking your Italian job, dude.
Mm.
Everybody will tell ki how they used to steal,
wow.
you know, how they used to make robberies and all. It was like crazy, man. It was like better than any like con movie I've seen.
Wow.
Because it's giving like first.
And they're telling like real stories. These are real thieves.
They are real thieves.
But they've changed now.
Like they've become Stuart now.
Dude, see, that is what a good testimony should sound like, right? Like I was a thief, and this is how I stole money, and this is how I changed.
Crazy.
I used to joke to my, like my sister was the only
I
one.
I used to skip
to
Sunday school for that.
To listen to all these stories.
Like, I know that is better.
Yeah, again, because I don't know, dude. I think as human beings, like even when you choose a hero, right? You choose a hero who has a slight edge, like a dark edge, right?
Correct.
Which is why you don't like someone who's just a
straight guy,
clean, super neat, and just everything is straightforward guy, right? There has to be something that's wrong with him, right?
Of course, that is the fun because then you're like, okay, if he can be that, I can also be that. Maybe, like, you know, that's how
freedom.
I think. Freedom.
It just gives you that little bit of freedom. Like, this guy's not conforming to all this, which again, comedy is like exactly that, right? Which is why sometimes I get damn pissed off with extremely clean comedy.
What are you trying to do?
Yeah, my comedy can be clean, but I don't want to talk about any clean topics, right? Because then, like, dude, I need to tell about how everything is fucked up also, dude.
Correct.
Yeah, so I think
again, like how comedy cannot be everything about how well my life is going.
Who wants to listen to that guy?
Who wants to listen to that guy? Again,
I want to listen to the guy whose life fell apart.
Exactly.
That's the funny part. I used to tell my sister, like, this testimony Sunday is, right, I'm only, because in first of all, okay, when you live in a small town, that's our other advantage because people have real stories because they have a very natural intelligence, which is very basic, right? I need to survive for tomorrow. I have children. They need to survive for tomorrow too. That is what it is. But here in the city, you have like two, I mean, we have a very luxurious life.
Of course.
It's too luxurious.
It's too nice.
Right? If you're in a city like Hyderabad or Bangalore, it's amazing your life, right? Now, you also have problems. But what problems are those, right? And then you come and tell your story. And I tell my sister, can we just make a rule saying that the only time you can come and give a testimony is if you have a drug problem, a marriage problem, or you tried killing yourself. That's the story
that
I want to listen to. But here, who wants to care about, like, hey, I was supposed to go to America, but I didn't.
And then the Lord told me to stay
over here.
Hyderabad only, right?
But he opened an opportunity for me to go to London.
Oh.
Who gives a flying crap?
I hate the stories, man.
Yeah, man. It's nice. So, how, like, I personally feel like comedy has, like, I was actually thinking about this, like how people say I'm a born again Christian, right? I think I'm born again as a comedian,
really?
Right? Yeah.
After your disassociation with the religion, and
it's
church.
Freed me up like so much.
Ah, nice.
Right? Like I find happiness. Like now, I realize that one of the most important things is just each other and making people happy as much as possible, trying not to hurt people and all that shit.
Yeah, that is enough.
Yeah.
Just keeping your peers around you happy, like the
yeah.
close ones, is enough. I know you can't make everyone happy, but अगर तुम्हारा दो तीन जो आसपास है वो लोग खुश है तो बहुत लाइफ इज ग्रेट देन.
इट्स ग्रेट डूड लाइक यू लाफिंग लाइक आई लाइक आई रिमेंबर दे टोल्ड दे डिड लाइक देयर इज अ बुक कॉल्ड ज्योग्राफी ऑफ ब्लिस ओके वेरी फन वेरी इंटरेस्टिंग बुक एंड इट्स अबाउट हाउ पीपल इन डिफरेंट प्लेसेस फाइंड हैप्पीनेस ओके सो वन ऑफ द बिगेस्ट प्रॉब्लम्स इज लाइक अल्कोहल. They said if you drink alcohol in a longer period of time, you'll end up miserable and your family ends up miserable. But they found that one of the happiest places in the world is Iceland, okay? Mm. Where everyone is super drunk because it's dark all the time. And they said, then this guy says, instead of being drunk and miserable, these people are drunk and happy. And they're having such a great time. Dude, if you just accept that, you know, like life is not going to be like fully perfect to tea and just have to make each other laugh.
Simple. Like religion removes the simplicity of life.
Yeah, it adds one extra layer of where you have to overthink.
Overdo actually.
Yeah. So in when you had that change of mind when you started doing stand-up, who were the comics that, you know, really put sense into like your new stream of questioning and thinking?
There's this guy called Dave Allen.
Dave Allen. He's the Home Improvement guy, right? He had that show. No, Dave Allen is the British guy.
I don't know if I'm getting the name correct right now.
No, it
but
is Dave Allen.
But he's the guy who sits on a chair.
Wearing a suit. And he's drinking scotch.
That guy. I don't know if...
He had a really funny joke.
Of course, George Carlin.
But Dave Allen spoke against religion?
Yeah.
what was this guy?
Now I don't remember, man. It's just too many years, but I think he was dissing the church more, as in the sermon and the church, like how it is.
But Carlin was more God, like, and religion.
I found Carlin's approach very shallow, by the way.
Yeah?
I mean, this is what Carlin's approach was, right? Which I thought was very shallow. Because there is this point where he says, I went outside and said, God strike me. And it did not. And like, that's not how, like, your neighbor works also. I can't do that to my neighbor. But I like still fine. Like, I had my own reasons. But then... The point is not that these comedians help me. The point is that, okay, these comedians exist. Can I think about it? I can. Then I started thinking about it. My point was very original. Ki I do not have the willpower. I just feel like doing this and I'm not. I'm just happy on the other side.
Yeah.
So I might as well do it and not regret.
Yeah.
And to be honest, God really does not affect your daily life, dude.
I don't think it's supposed to be that way.
You have no place for God. Yeah. Like, I have no place for God. Like, what will I do? I do comedy for, like, 2-3 hours a day. I travel. There's no God involved. I work for 12 hours. There is another different God I have to worship. So there's no God involved. Where do I have God? I'm sleeping. There's nobody involved there. So there's no God. How do I, except for those 3 hours, I have to make a place and time for God. If I don't, there is no God. That is my point. It's just me telling myself that this person exists. It's me telling myself that I have to go to church. It's me telling myself I have to follow these 10 rules.
Yeah.
I can control the whole thoughts, right? What is the point? Like, I'm still open. Like, this is what I tell
you. You leave one door open.
Like my mother, right? sometimes it gets very serious that why I do not believe in Christ or why I don't go to church. I just tell the example of Thomas. You know Thomas, right?
Yeah.
Like, he was one of the Jesus' 12 disciples. Yeah. And he told, I will not believe that Christ was born again until and unless I put my hand through
the hand
nail created, right?
Yeah.
While he was nailed on cloth, so that there was a hole in his hand. I wanted to feel that hole. Mm-hmm. I'm there as a person. I'm like, if Christ comes, I'll do that and probably I'll believe.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But until then, not let me just live my life as my thoughts are, you know, guiding me.
I think like on a different level, personally, like I mean, know God and all of that, right? Like the presence of God and all that, right? But like, and even I do believe, but I also feel like it's not like the things that we think are important, which have been told to us by other people, right? You know what, you have to go every Sunday. You know what, you shouldn't do this, you shouldn't do that. I don't think God cares about that.
Correct.
Right?
If he exists, he should not care because he's a much smarter person.
Yeah, I don't think he cares about it at all. It won't even matter, right? I see it like how like those people who are thieves and like theft and all of that, right?
Correct.
And also people in prison. Like you see anyone, if you read like anyone who's in prison, they'll be like, oh my God, I have nothing over here. I've come to the absolute bottom of the bottom of the bottom of the barrel, right? And then they find God, right? And then that does something to them. So those are all the same.
It fills a gap that was missing. Like, you know, it makes them accountable, dude. Like, it's like, okay, this is why maybe I shouldn't do all these things.
Yeah. And
it gives
them
a reason to be clean or like, you know, and then they have that as a crutch and then they become better person. So and that also works. Like, I'm fine with that. It's just that this concept is not working for me. If that is my stand, if it works for you, then great. Like, and end of the day, it's about being peace. Everybody wants the same thing. Everybody wants to be loved.
Yeah.
Everybody wants to be happy. Yeah. Everybody wants companionship. Everybody wants friends. Wherever you find it in religion, take it and go. But just don't be under this, you know, don't have that struggle within yourself daily. Just don't do that. Works if it works, you should do it. Like, that's why I don't preach about being an atheist in my stand up. And because again, I'm preaching, then I have so many atheistic thoughts where I can take, let me take out this flaw in this religion. When I did that for a while, now I don't, because there's no point, because it is giving somebody else peace. So, how will you conflict that point?
That's how I treat like any other religion, also, right? Like, and also, I think to a large extent, that's another thing where I think, like. Like, where we grew up, right? We said, like, there's only, like, one God and all that, right? Now, I'd like to think that is a little bit flawed in different ways, right? Like, because, like, if you see someone in the night at, like, 10 o'clock and he's praying at a temple, it's because, again, he's reached at the bottom of the barrel at some point of time, right? That he has to go to God. And you really think that the higher power over that doesn't care about this guy because he's in the wrong place. I don't think it works that way.
It works like that.
I do not think. I think ultimately what we're trying to do is something to believe something which is higher than us.
Reaching out, basically. Yeah, you're reaching out to higher power for some
help, right? And that, I don't think that's wrong.
And if that higher power is saying that, okay, you did not... You broke a coconut instead of getting, like, you know, instead of burning a candle.
Yeah.
He cannot be judgmental on process.
Yeah. If it exists. That's also what I think. It's like, I think he's reaching out. That's his thing, right? Like, he's not doing the wrong thing.
As much as
how I might think I'm doing the right thing.
Who knows? Again, that, like, raises the bigger question. Okay, why this? Then why there is no control? And why he's not doing all these things?
So I always tell people, like...
So what is your answer to, you know... Okay, how is, if God exists, why is there no control? Why does it feel like it's not under his, things are not under his control. Why does it feel like that?
My answer is, like, see, like, people say, like, when some shit happens, right? How could there be a God?
Like, for example, a rape happens.
Yeah.
Like,
how,
and people are like, how did God allow that?
How could there be a God? But the only thing is, like, I'm looking at it from the outsider perspective. Like, rape is very serious, dude. Like, I have no answer for that at all. Absolutely.
Exactly.
I have zero clue. I'll never know the answer also, right? But, like, I have seen some people, my best friend, his mom died because of the pandemic, right? And that's the worst thing that happened to me. Imagine to my friend.
Correct.
Like, I've lost aunts and all that before, but they've not mattered so much because they're distant, right? But my friend's mom was, like, I've spent so much of my time there, right?
You're close to her.
Yeah, so I was close to her also. So, it hit me so badly, and obviously, like, why would a God allow? But, dude, like, after that, like, there are so many good things that have happened to him, right? In, like, through that entire process, right? And, like, he has become a much more... well-rounded person. So it's like, maybe if something bad happened, also something good happened. So I think in the larger scheme, maybe there's a bigger plan.
So in that context, right, if I have to believe that there is a God, I'll believe him. Maybe he's like a filmmaker.
Yeah.
Like, I believe like that. I can believe like that. I can go for that argument. Okay, maybe he's a filmmaker. He does not, like, if shit is happening, it's happening, because maybe he knows the end.
Yeah.
Maybe if in that case I can believe, but I will not believe him that he's this righteous, pure personality. He's not judgmental. He will be kind. I don't believe again all that. Maybe he's a filmmaker.
But why a filmmaker? That's very interesting.
That makes sense.
Like, he wants to make a story.
He wants to make a story.
Beginning, middle, end.
Why else is somebody dying randomly? Why is there somebody leaving his family?
I think it's
a plot. Like, it's a plot. It's a premise that he's like.
Yeah,
it's
to
a
an
story
extent,
that
even
he's writing. Maybe, and that makes sense. Then that makes sense.
That's to an extent, that's what even I believe. I think there's a grander, like,
maybe
even Carlin mentions this somewhere, right? So my thing with Carlin is, I think what he did was, like, comedians do this thing, right? Where they take a really stupid thing and they make it really serious. And they take a really serious thing and they make it really stupid. I think Carlin was just being silly. Yeah. And he does, right? Like, even in the last special, he does, like, some really serious bit, and then he says, okay, now I'm going to talk about pussy farts. So he had that balance. So I think, I don't know. Like, Carlin said that in some special, I think. I think we're all part of a grander plan that we will never understand, right? And I think, to some extent, I believe.
It feels like that, because when you find...
We won't be able to understand it.
We won't be able to understand. And I think there's no point in finding the answer also. There's point in getting things done. Like, you can have only so much control over things, man. Even your thoughts, right? You can only go so far.
Yeah.
Like, even if I just sit and meditate for like 3-4 days, I will still not find the answer. Because all the references I'm looking for are still just part of my own head.
Yeah.
I will never get the answer.
Yeah.
There is no answer. How many other books you read, like, you will still be more confused about religion is what I feel.
Yeah, and I think that's one of the things where I really envy people are like so simple. Like, I'm just leaving it. I'm just living for today. I don't care about it.
Like, I love the guy who just goes, passes by the temple and just like, you know, salutes, like just a small salute.
Yeah,
like,
then he
just
goes
just small
like,
hats of just like he does a small triangle. And just gone. That's it. That's his faith, man. And it's done.
Yeah.
Like, for him, that is God. And that is great. He has no pressure. Like, he might just kill someone after that, but he's just he's made just that small salute. Like, he's passed by, he's taking that 1 second. Whereas it's different for you and me. We have dedicated a huge part of our life. Like, my childhood is gone, like, for church. Like, teen years is gone for church. That's why I have to think more when I'm away also.
In what way
that why am I disassociating with God? Like, I need to have a bigger answer. So I'm never away from that topic.
Yeah, I mean, I think you're always in that area, right?
In that area. So you're just like, it's like, for example, being religious was Pakistan and being non-religion was India.
Yeah.
You're still at the border only. You have not gone to like North, East, West Bengal. You're still there around like Islamabad, Lahore, wahi to border pe khel raha.
Yeah.
So you can never go too far. Like, especially you and me, you can't go too far.
Yeah.
This thing will always be there.
I also envy people who... like make a really big stand, said, you know what happens, I'm never going to come back at all. That is also, there's a lot of courage in that also, right? Because like, oh, here you're like, okay, maybe I'm leaving one door open just to come back.
Check, just in case there is a second coming, I'll brush my teeth and
yeah. just warm up a little bit. But then there are some people who just burn that bridge. Said, no matter what happens.
Like, I've burned that bridge. No matter what happens, I cannot go to a church right now because I will not give another minute inside that building. I've wasted too many Sundays in my life. I will not go back. I've been bored to that. People are like, go for content.
Yeah, you know? Yeah, that's the worst thing.
I cannot go.
There is no content.
There is nothing new that
I know too much about this.
I know too much about this.
You're an insider at that point of time.
Yeah, there's too much. I cannot spend another second there.
Yeah. You know, I was actually pitching like a comedy friend. You know Soda?
Yeah,
he was pitching this idea of a podcast to me, which he didn't do, which is such a cool idea. He said, I want to start a podcast, but you know, like every podcast is the people who achieve things, right? I want to start a podcast of people who have left things.
Such
a cool idea. I don't have to speak to someone who's left like a religion, speak to someone who's left a marriage, left their children.
That's such a great idea. Somebody should push him to.
Yeah, man. Which is why I always, like this entire thing about like faith or whatever, right? Like I do believe, but I really like hearing stories of people who have left. Because even I've left like huge parts of which I'll never go back to at all, no matter what happens, right? And I think that's a much more interesting conversation to have, because when you speak to people, they have intention in what they're in the lives that they're living, you know what I mean, as opposed to, dude, I just don't know why, man, I'm just doing it.
Yeah, they know exactly why they're doing it.
Yeah.
And you know, they have answers. Like it's the same question where we got like hurdled, okay, I don't know why this is happening. They have an answer there. Like, they will tell you, for example, they will tell you it's all God's plan, and they will tell you with utmost peace in their heart. Okay, there is chaos, but it is created by God, so it's fine. And that is like, if you are peaceful, there's nothing like, you know, just be.
Whatever gives you peace.
Go to church, then if it is giving you peace, there is nothing like it. Man.
Yeah, but I think like comedy has given me much more acceptance.
Much more peace.
And acceptance also.
Yeah.
Because there's no hierarchy in comedy. Like, even if you see like a bunch of comedians, if there's hierarchy, the guy who's at the top of the hierarchy will be hated. Right, by everyone below is like, dude, we don't want to be with that guy. He's not us. Which is very interesting. For me, like, I think comedy has definitely changed much more. Like, I think, first of all, it's given you a thing that like, nothing is that important and no one is that important.
Correct.
Right? And
it's given the freedom to think. Like, you can literally think anything you want.
Yeah.
Because, like, Christianity has a cap on thinking also, by the way. You cannot think few things. Like, you cannot... you know, to think is also sin. So you cannot think of few things. That's not allowed. Like, thinking is allowed, man. Like, you can think, you can do later. If you want to do it, like, but you can, you're allowed to think. You're allowed to say it also on stage at some points. At least at an open mic, you can go and say the
absolute. At least when you're not recording.
When you're not recording, you can say shit.
Yeah.
So it's fine. It's good.
Yeah.
That way, comedy is the... There is still like something I look up to that is comedy right now.
But how
it's
do you...
It's a concept. It's not a person.
Yeah. But I also think this is not... Like, even comedy, I don't believe it's just like... comedy, you're not just making jokes, you're not doing stupid things, you're telling like actual thoughts, what
actual
you feel,
actual thought, what you feel, what you've been through, what you've like seen personally. Is that like these real things, man?
Like if you're doing like Christian comedy, for example, right, which my dad did for a long time and he was really funny at it, right? But I don't know the story about it. So this is how I got into comedy. Okay, like, so my dad is very funny, okay, and he realized something is wrong with the churches. We are too serious and everything is too sacred. Right, so he said, so I'll make these people laugh. So he did like a comedy show, and some 300 people came, dude. It was crazy in Bangalore. Okay,
dude, nice.
And so at that point of time, he had a thing. Like I will give him like certain jokes that you should tell this. He'd be like, I can't tell that because that will upset someone. Which is why I said like, then I should do comedy because I'm not afraid about these people because I'm not performing in front
for
of
them,
these people.
You have a stage and all. Nice.
Yeah, but the thing is, I think it gives people that very unrealistic safe space, right? Like if you see like a Christian comedy show, it's, you know, children can watch it, you can watch it, and you're not going to get offended. But that's not real.
That's not real. Again, that is like, again, that's like a curated environment.
Yeah, that's,
it's curated. Like that's everybody like is there who has at least been aware or, you know, is trying to follow a certain regime or certain rules. And within that, like, you know, world, you have your own jokes. Again, those jokes are from Bible and like how Jesus and his brother were like funny and all that. So it again is very limiting.
I don't
want
to.
But it is the birth of comedy in US at least.
But I also like I cannot do that ever because that's like I'm treating everyone. I'm patronizing them, right? I'm making them feel like children. Like when you talk to a child, how do you talk? You dumb yourself down sometimes and then you talk, right? I'm doing the same thing and they're not that. These people are bad people. Like how I am a bad person, right? I can't do good jokes for you bad people, right? I'm going to do bad jokes because I'm a bad person and so are you, right? Which is, like, I fucking love
But I comedy. Like performing in the church, dude. Have you performed in the church? After, like, being a full-time comedian, I've performed like this. There's a church in Hyderabad, the Pearl City.
Yeah.
It's a very, like, one of those churches where they have a rock band playing.
Yeah,
you know, all this thing. So they were cool enough to just call me for their annual, you know, there's this annual meeting they have. They call me every year for 3 times.
Yeah.
Right? So I used to go there every year. I used to just cut out, basically. I just... So I decided I'm not going to do extra Christian
clean
stuff. So I just decided to cut out all the, you know, foul language.
Yeah.
Right. And I did a clean show. Dude, they had a great time. And I did the joke where I said my dad was a pastor. He wanted me to become a pastor. So I became a stand-up comedian.
Yeah.
Including the pastor clapped.
Yeah. That's
it's
nice.
Not like they don't have a sense of humor.
Yeah.
They have a sense of humor.
Yeah.
It's just that they've been told you're not allowed to laugh.
Correct. I've performed at predominantly Christian audiences twice. These are not churches, but these are organizations.
Oh.
Right. The first time was really funny, okay? And the second time was 2 years into me doing comedy. So obviously, it was a little more darker.
Oh, no.
And they hated it.
They
absolutely hated it. And the only time when they laugh, see, now I do this thing where even in corporate audiences, this is what I do right now, okay? So I know they're not going to laugh at a lot of points. But then I talk about how they're not laughing and they laugh at that.
They laugh at that. Huh? You address the point, they'll just...
So I said, you guys can laugh at this joke. It's no problem. You're not going to go to hell. Then they laughed at that. Yeah. But yeah, it's an interesting space, man. So nice. It's good talking to you, man. When's your next...
Tonight.
Okay, so you have to get...
I have to wrap. I don't know how many tickets. Let me check. Like,
are you doing an hour?
I'm doing an half an hour with Toby.
Okay. And are you writing a solo show?
I am doing a solo show also.
What,
like I tried to
theme?
Do one. There's no theme, man. It's
just
1 hour
of
my
jokes.
Best jokes.
Nice.
That's it.
Okay.
I have right now I'm thinking I'll never have a theme until like, I don't believe, like I feel, like, I don't know. This is like a very comedic thoughts that I have. I believe a good special does not need a theme. I mean, you can have a theme, but like a very commercial special that you just want to do a good special should have like all kinds of jokes, a mix of like personal stuff and like mix of crowd work. Everything should be there. I'm trying to make a proper masala special. Yeah,
right.
I'm trying to
but it's also not just masala. It's more well-rounded.
Well-rounded special. I believe it should definitely cover everything. So the special's name is Johnny Ka Sandesh. It's just my name.
Nice.
So there's just jokes like. getting an R jokes is a big like fucking task, man.
And especially the problem is when you stick to a theme, it's like you're performing a corporate show to some extent. Your hands are tied.
Your hands are tied. Right?
And you only tied it.
You tied it. Why would you want to? Dude, being on... I've recently started doing an R in the sense that last one year. Right? And it's been so liberating, man. Your own R. Like,
yeah.
I decided not to have a theme because I don't...
You can do whatever you want.
Whatever you want. Like, I might come up with a new set anytime and then just do it.
Mm. It's like, you know how like bands name their albums, right? If they name it like Appetite for Destruction, like Guns N' Roses, not every song is about destruction or about having an appetite, right? It's probably like one song which they feel is the entire, captures the entire thing, and they call it that. Yeah. I think that's how
a good special should be.
And which is also how specials are named. Like if you see any of Billboard's specials,
it's
right?
like one thing.
It's one joke.
Thing, one joke about the name and then yeah. like everything else.
That's a pretty cool way of looking at it. Nice. And so you've done this art like a bunch of times?
Yeah, I've done it like at least 10-12 times.
Are you taking it on tour?
Not yet, man. Not until like there is a very popular video of mine.
Oh,
I
right.
will
okay.
not tour until I have like a good video.
Because the worst thing is going to another city and then not selling tickets
in
that place.
What's the point? Like you have enough strangers in your own city. Like I believe that. There are enough strange people in your own city to give you the feeling that you are out of place. And
nice.
For that only people travel, right? To get new audience.
Tell me this. I don't know. I've ran this idea by someone else in Bangalore. But in Hyderabad, majority of the audiences, are they from Hyderabad?
Not really. Majority of the audience that comes to our shows
yeah.
is definitely not from Hyderabad.
They're from different places.
They are from different
but
places.
They made Hyderabad their home.
They are basically people who work in the IT industry.
So they either made it in the recent 2 years or they're making it their home right now.
Yeah, correct.
Got
so
it.
So they are like sort of staying in Hyderabad for rent or like they've come here for a
I
job.
Think that makes a small difference, right? Because like when you perform at a city where people are grounded over there, right? And they see stand-up, they'll be like, oh, this is our city. We know what to expect. And they laugh at it a lot.
It's not. That's why our comedy, I think Hyderabad comedians' comedy is also not very hyper-local, like Chennai. Mm,
yeah.
It's not hyper-local at all. So it still has to...
Which is the problem in Chennai. Chennai, everyone's
Chennai,
too grounded. So
yes.
You have to pander to their sentiment of being thing. Cool. Sandesh, Dude, thank you so much for
thanks,
doing
man,
this.
This was fun talking to you.
Actually. Yeah, likewise. We can catch you on social media.
Yeah, Instagram.
At the rate
Johnny Ka Sandesh.
Perfect. Thank you.